The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to talk sports with Touchdown Tony Collins. Tony spent 8 seasons in the NFL and now encourages high school kids to believe in their dreams as he tours the country to educate them about the college recruiting process, its sports, guests, and positive words. Now, here is Tony Collins, along with co-host Bill Mattis.
It's another Wednesday, and we are back on the air. And Corinne, I'm not sure how well this show is going to go today, because that didn't sound too good in my ears. I don't know. It looked like the connection was still having some problems. So we may have some technical difficulties. We'll see. Hopefully we can get through it. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and you're right. It was very crackly.
Yeah, but you're kind of crackly to me, too. Hopefully.
Maybe we should start singing like Cracklin' Rosie or something.
I don't know about that. Well, hopefully whatever they're getting is nice and clear, and it'll be fine for the broadcast.
You sound better.
Okay. So what you may notice already is the fact that somebody's missing again, and that's Tony. And so, therefore, we'll just have to carry on. Bill and Corinne are here, and we're going to go ahead and have the show today. And hopefully Mr. Collins will be back again. I was on the air with Tony last Friday night on the Philly Sports Jabroni show. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Corinne, my goodness, that was not an easy show to sit through. I must tell you that.
Okay, be kind.
I'll tell you, but I love Joey, and and Mike seems like a nice guy. We'll have to help them out as they continue. And we want to also give a shout out to one of our good friends who's no longer working with Voice America, from what we understand. That's Dee Davis. You know, Dee was our engineer all since the time we started, and he's always done a tremendous job. I'm sure the guys that are behind the glass today will take over for him nicely. But, you know, Dee has a personality that you just got to love. And I'm hoping whatever it is that he's going forward to do, you know, will be really great. And, you know, I'm sure whatever he does, he'll be successful at it. So good luck to Dee. And I'm hoping he'll stay in touch with us and keep us posted as to what he's up to.
Well, I've been talking to him.
Oh,
he's part of our team. You know, he's a special part of our team. So, yes, Dee's doing fine, and he'll be keeping in touch with us.
That's good. Well, I hope everything's going well with him, and hopefully he's moving onward and upward. So, anyway, we might as well go right into the most important part of the show, and that's, of course,
that's
what is
the fact
it?
That I'm on?
Well, no. It's the we know what we need to get. We need, like, a theme music for the Candy Crush Saga segment. Candy Crush Saga. Something like
no.
Candy Crush Saga. Update. You know, with a little update at the end. Well, nothing's changed for me. I'm still stuck on 147, and it's looking hopeless. I had a shot. I had a shot. And I couldn't make it happen. I had, for those of you who play the stupid game on Facebook, Candy Crush Saga, I had 2 sparkly balls next to each other, okay? And you know what it's like to have sparkly balls sitting next to each other? Because, you know, not everybody has that. And so I finally had sparkly balls sitting next to each other. And I put them together, and it's just a beautiful thing. Like, everything pops, and you're just really ahead of the game at that point with sparkly balls next to each other.
I can't believe you're talking about this.
Then later in the game, I had a bunch of different other combos with, like, the 3-line whoosh, you know, with the stripe ball. You know what I'm talking about, right?
And I do, but they don't. It's a wrapped piece of candy with a striped piece of candy, and it takes 3 rows out vertically and 3 rows out horizontally. Yeah. It's awesome.
really is awesome. And I had that a couple times too. So you'd think maybe I'm sitting in the driver's seat, you know, and I'm thinking, this is it. I'm finally going to beat it. And it still didn't happen. I there just was no place to make moves over where I had to make moves. And, you know, what else can we do? We just got to keep trying. And did you go ahead and you know, get through any more levels?
I have to say that on Sunday, my kids are at Hilton Head, so I had nothing to do. And I just sat pretty much all day off and on playing Candy Crush. And I got all the way up to level 92.
Wow.
I know. I can't believe it.
Just wait till you hit 147 and the door slams shut.
The door slammed. It's totally slammed. I'm stuck. I can't use any extra moves. And I have, not kidding, 50 different people multiple times sent me extra moves. So 50, that's 100 and...
You can't use them all at the same time, though, can you?
I know. I can't use them on this level at all. So they're just sitting there. Yeah, they're just sitting there. So figure out. I have 50 of them. There's three. That's 150 extra moves, and I can't even use any of them. Nice. And I'm out of extra lives, so if you're listening, friends, please send me lives. And Jill,
with our following, send me lives. With our following, you should have at least two lives by the time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You and Jill, right off the bat, I know I'm getting some lives.
Well, I'm hoping that at some point I finally can beat the stupid level, because it's really starting to bug me.
No, wait. Your mom.
Oh, no. Is she texting us again during the show?
She says, give them to her. My extra moves.
What level is she on?
She's on 65. She said,
wow.
Candy Crushing.
Remember,
and I'm on for 3 weeks, 65.
She was going to give up on 27, I think it was. And she was like, doomed. The world was doomed. She was never going to give up forward. And she was ready to give up. And all of a sudden, now she's like a player. Anyway, all right, enough of that. I'm becoming one of the best Sheffield players in the country. That's kind of silly.
How do you have time for this stuff?
You know what? My business is a lot of sitting around and waiting for people to call you back. It's a lot of sending of emails. It's a lot of talking on the phone. And sometimes, you know, I just sit there and kill time in between events and play the stupid game. So anyway, all right. So let's move on. Listen, I got some big news to reveal. We have the potential for possibly a groundbreaking, you know, world shattering type of event that's going to be happening.
What?
I had this possible big surprise appearance that I'm going to be involved in. You ready to hear about it?
You know, when I look up hyperbole in the dictionary, I always wonder why your face is right there.
I don't even know what a hyperbole is.
Okay, just go ahead and tell me.
Just
what
a dumb
is it?
Doc, and I don't know what hyperbole. Okay, so here's what I'm doing. I'm reaching out to Miley Cyrus, and I'm going to do a dance number.
Shut up.
I'm doing a dance number with Miley Cyrus next week.
Shut up.
Seriously?
No.
Yes, I'm going to wear the same outfit.
All right,
as she
that's
does.
It. I quit.
I'm wearing the same outfit as she did on the video of Music Awards. and two of them are going to get up on the stage and do that dance. And it's going to be fantastic.
Oh, boy. I'm blind just thinking about it.
Well, you should be, frankly.
I should
anyway,
be blind?
You should be blind, yeah, if you're going to see that. Anyway, we mentioned last week on the show that the fantasy football league that Tony wanted to get into, the one that I run,
got shut out of.
You got shut out of. But, you know, they wanted you. I showed you text message.
Yeah, I know. And guess what? Did I say I wanted to be involved? And you're like, oh, I shut that down.
After. Here's the thing.
Hey, Fish, just so you know, it wasn't my choice not to play.
No. I mean, the guys would have liked to have had you play, I'm sure. And, of course, they would have had to be on their best behavior because, you know, they get a little raunchy from time to time.
I don't.
You never know what Carp or Fish will say or Rob Noxious. Anyway, so when it hits an even number of teams, you have to shut it down at some point, because if you have an odd number of teams at the time of the draft, it doesn't work out because it's a head-to-head league. So each week somebody's playing somebody, and if you have one team left out, then you have bye weeks and it becomes a nightmare. So Yahoo makes it so that you cannot have an odd number of teams. So when we got to 12 and you said, I don't want to play, I don't know anything about it.
I didn't say that.
Did too. That's exactly, and, if, and in fact, that's exactly the tone you used. You were like, "I don't want to play. I don't know anything about it."
I don't. I never speak that way, especially.
But you did.
You.
Well, then maybe my phone was just low on batteries, and it made it sound lower. But anyway,
yeah.
So I went ahead and I closed it down. And then 24 hours later, you know, everybody's posting on the page about how come Corinne's not playing, and she, you know, she with the what was the word about your voice? What was the word?
Fish called me mellifluous.
Mellifluous? I couldn't even say it, let alone know what it meant.
I know.
And what does it mean, Corinne?
Having a voice like honey.
Having a voice like honey. Man, having a voice like honey and sparkly balls next to each other.
Oh, no.
This show is full of talent. It really is.
We're just a mess.
Anyway, so I had to close it down. We went to the draft was on Monday. So everybody gets there. I mean, I think only 2 out of the 12 didn't show up for the draft, so the computer winds up picking for those guys. And it was fun because it's a lot of the camaraderie back and forth between the different guys and Tony. Of course, you know, Tony's the big celebrity in there. And, you know, it gives them a chance to give him a hard time about the Patriots. One of the best jokes of the night was, I hope I don't bury this one. Fish says, oh, I got to think about it. It was, how many Patriots does it take to change a tire? And Tony's like, okay, how many? And he said, one, unless you're talking about the 1985 Super Bowl game, they'll all be there because it's a blow.
That's so wrong.
Yeah. Tony appreciated that one, I thought. Anyway, so here's the thing. Yahoo gives a grade. And I don't know where the grade comes from. I guess they have some expert that rates the players as to, you know, value or some sort. And so they grade everybody's draft after they've made the draft complete. So everybody got a grade from the draft the other night. So do you want to guess what my grade was?
Oh, I'm saying it's a solid C.
No, it was a B plus.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, it was a B plus. So I was kind of happy with that. Would you like to know what Tony got?
Sure. He's not here to defend himself, so let's go for it.
It's fact. It's posted. Okay, so it's not like this is just hearsay. It's posted. He got a D on his report card.
And this is for who he drafted?
Yes, the team that he has resulted with after the draft. They said his team gets a D for draft, his draft
so
grade.
Tony does not have a position as a general manager in his future.
Apparently not. Now, if he can take this type of team and make a winner out of it, well, then maybe he does. But, you know, rank and file, that's Dave Rankin's team, he got an A+. Somebody named Homer J, who I'm not sure who that is, they got an A+. I'm looking to think. Carp had an A-. Marion's Barbarians had an A. There's your beloved Panthers with a B+. Fish came in with a B. Magnolia High Cowboys, a B. And down the road, it was like C's or worse, and Tony was down there at the D level. So
well, maybe he's taken a Billy Beane approach to putting his team together.
Well,
and he thinks they're going to surprise everyone.
Well, I think what happens is, you know, sometimes you take guys that are no names or you know, possibly up and comers, and maybe they didn't hit the radar yet, so you get 0 points for them. I don't know. And you know what? Who knows what the draft grades are really going to come to? It probably doesn't mean anything, because one of the other guys who got a D is also a very good player, a guy named Ron Mendoza. So, you know, who knows? Besides, we know more than Yahoo experts do anyway. So, you know, why would I want to let them think that they know what they're talking about? So, anyway.
Are you – I have a question from the audience.
Really?
Yes.
What audience?
An audience, and her question is, are there any handicaps?
handicaps.
Yeah, do you handicap that?
No, I don't.
I didn't think so.
Hey, listen, okay. We're going to take a break. We'll talk about my handicaps in about 2 minutes, but we're going to take a break right now, so stay with us.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports. Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with Kay Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Want to experience football from the perspective of two former players who also have coaching experience? Tune in to Sports Info UM with Daryl Oliver and Sam Sword. We'll talk about the drafts, play-by-play, and even what's happening in the offseason. Daryl and Sam have the connections and the knowledge to bring you the inside stories of the game's past, present, and future. We'll cover the camps, on and off field, and everything else, football and beyond. Sports Info UM is heard Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
This is Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins. If you have a question or comment about our program or about the Tony Collins Foundation, please send an email to tony.collins@allstarincagency.com. That's Tony Collins at allstarincagency.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Now, what were you saying about handicapping?
A listener, one of our Arbitron-rated 7 listeners, asked if there were any handicaps. And I
in regards to the, what, fantasy football?
I guess, other than we're mentally handicapped.
I was going to say, Tony's handicap is he doesn't know anything about football. And, that's his handicap.
See, this is the irony in that is just phenomenal.
Yes, it really is. Well, he thinks he does, I don't know. Maybe he'll have a good year. We'll see. But we believe that he'll be kind of – we refer to Tony as the bottom feeder this year. So,
Boy, it's getting cold in here.
This is really easy to do when he's not here because he doesn't have a chance to fight back. Hopefully he'll actually listen to the show and he can hear me talk about this.
Speaking of not being able to fight back, I happened to notice in that thread when Fish said something about me joining, you said – And don't
encourage her.
Corinne.
Yes. Yeah. Jeez. Well, we already know that.
If friends like you mad us, I'm telling you.
Well, we don't want you to feel too overconfident with your position here because, when it comes to contract time and renegotiations, I got to kind of leverage myself the other direction to make you think that you're working, lower than your standards.
I have to say, I don't think there's a person out there that doesn't think the second I leave this show, it falls flat on its face.
Ooh. Oh, we'll see about that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, well, then maybe next week you'll do the show by yourself. I think that would be cool.
I could do that.
All right. So anyway, the other sports draft that we did was for the Sports Jabroni show. And I love Joe, and Mike seems like a good guy. And this was only like their fourth show, I think. But Joe had to do these music intros. Every time they brought a caller on, he had the guys at the studio play some song that had fantasy in it. They played like 4 seconds of it, and then they cut it off, and then the guy would have to make his pick. And each time I heard the music, I was like, wow.
Like fantasy from Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Yes, that was one of them. And then there was like anything that had fantasy in it. So I guess the idea was there. It just wasn't really great execution. And then at the – we're running out of time. We only had 10 minutes to go, and we needed to pick like an entire more another round. Some guy calls in and starts talking about Donovan McNabb. Well, Donovan McNabb – why would he talk about Donovan McNabb in a fantasy draft for 2013? I don't know. But apparently Donovan McNabb is Joe Darragh's Niagara Falls. Because when anybody brings up Donovan McNabb, it sends him right into a tiz, and he automatically starts going on the defense of why Donovan McNabb is so great, why Donovan McNabb's going to be a Hall of Famer, why Donovan McNabb's numbers are better than Jim Kelly, who's already in the Hall of Fame, you know, why Donovan McNabb probably didn't really throw up during the Super Bowl. One thing after, I mean, and he fought this guy tooth and nail, and I'm just sitting there listening to it going, there's only 3 minutes left. And then there was only 2 minutes left. And he's like, okay, well, I guess we got to go now, so we'll talk to everybody next week. And I'm like, what? What just happened? And meanwhile, Tony got out early because he said that his power went out in his house, and all of a sudden he just wasn't there. Anyway, it was a little bit of a debacle, but hopefully it'll be fun to see how the guys we picked – against the guys they picked, and see how good we are compared to them. So hopefully we'll prove our dominance. So anyway, so Corinne, what's in the news today? Anything out there good? Any sports news out there?
Yeah, actually there is. I've been following the U.S. Open.
Oh, Corinne.
Yes, and we're talking tennis, Bill's favorite sport.
Well, the funny thing was I was listening to the Phillies game yesterday as I was driving around. It was last night, and the Phillies were playing the Mets,
right
in Queens.
Yeah,
and the stadium for the U.S. Open,
the Flushing Meadows, right,
is right next to it. You could throw a baseball and hit the U.S. Open stadium from where the Mets play, and that's how close it is. It must have been a mob scene because the announcers were saying, yeah, I wish I knew about that U.S. Open that was going on up here because I could have left my hotel an extra half hour early because of the crowds. And apparently it's just a mob scene up there, not because of the Mets, because of the U.S. Open. But go ahead. All right. So what's happening in the U.S. Open? I saw some girl got crushed by Serena Williams and hugged a ball boy. I saw that. Did you see that?
No, that part I didn't see, no.
She was just getting clobbered. It was 6-0, 6-1, I think, and somewhere near the last game, the girl was just so frustrated when she went to go get a ball from the ball boy, she just gave him a hug, you know, and he just sat there for a second, patting her back. It was almost like, you know, you had to feel bad for the girl, some French girl. Anyway, go ahead.
Always feel bad for the French girls.
You know, you could stick to the summary I gave you because there's no tennis listed on that summary.
You know, I saw that, but excuse me, you did ask me what's new in sports, so I thought that was my,
you know.
Yeah, but
you're supposed to follow the script. But anyway, go ahead.
All right, go ahead and follow the script. Let's go.
All right, well, let's try it again. Hey, Corinne, anything new in the sports world?
Yes, Bill. As a matter of fact, there is.
Yeah?
Let's see. Well, the first game of the NFL will be on Thursday, September 5th. It will be Baltimore at Denver.
Yes, it is. And it's getting exciting out there. You know, last week we talked about the preseason. And we talked about how RG3 wasn't playing. And the reason was they didn't want to get him hurt. Or any hurt more than... And I said, that's a great idea. You should take all your stars and not play them in the preseason at all. Let them practice. Yeah, right. And guess what happened since that show?
They're all getting hurt.
And the Bills lost two quarterbacks. They lost their starter. Well, they didn't know who the starter was going to be. The kid Emmanuel from Florida State that they just drafted, or Kevin Cobb. Emmanuel hurt his knee, and Cobb got a concussion. And now they could be the first team ever, to have an undrafted free agent be the starter in the first game of a regular season game. That's pretty serious stuff right there. You get two quarterbacks during your preseason, and now you're going to start this kid. And you know what his name is? Tool.
No.
So they're in big trouble.
And shout out to Kevin Cobb because, the poor guy, he just needs to retire now.
Well, he's having a rough time. But, you know, this could have been his really big chance. I thought when he went to Arizona, I really thought he was going to be good. But for some reason, it just didn't work. And then,
plagued with injuries. He's plagued with injuries.
Yes,
isn't that
he
what
is.
Kept him out, right? So, yeah.
Well, that and the fact that he was not very effective when he did play. But Juwan Harris was a running back for the Packers. He was probably going to be part of a two-player punch there from the running back position. He's out for the year.
Yep.
And then there's Mark Sanchez. Did you hear about this one?
No, but I know you're going to tell me.
Rex Ryan has Mark Sanchez playing in the fourth quarter of an exhibition game. The fourth quarter. And do you know who plays in the fourth quarter of exhibition games usually?
Nobody. Just the guys you're going to cut.
Guys you're probably going to cut that you're just kind of hoping to maybe see something spectacular that makes you want to keep them for another week or maybe gives you a chance to move them to another team that's really hurting in that position. These are guys that are out trying to make a name for themselves by knocking somebody down. And there's Mark Sanchez playing quarterback for Rex Ryan, and guess what happened?
He got hurt.
So Joe Namath, who is a favorite of yours, I know.
Yes, I just met him recently.
Yes, you did. And Joe Namath came out and said,
the thrill of a lifetime.
There was no reason for Sanchez to be in the game in the fourth quarter with a bunch of nobodies, is basically what he said. And, he was actually more upset, I think, about Rex Ryan's comments that we were trying to be competitive, we were trying to win the game, we want to have, our best players show that they can. He was like, that's a bunch of crap. Who cares about whether you win an exhibition game? You might have just lost our season for us because now we don't have a quarterback. Now, they have to play the kid from West Virginia, but,
From West Virginia, huh?
Yeah, what's his name? I don't even remember his name.
Now.
Yeah, Sanchez could be hurt for a while, and if he comes back, then it's not a big deal, I guess, but still, the potential for the injury was there, and he just flaunted with it, and he got burnt. Now, RG3, on the other hand, who did not play in any preseason games, was just announced to be the starter against the Eagles, which is not really a huge surprise or a lot of big news, but I guess people were kind of concerned. Is he ready to come back yet or not? And do you take your franchise player and put him out there in week one when maybe he's really not back to full strength? But apparently he's in good enough shape that they're going to toss him out there against the Eagles in a couple Mondays. Anyway, so roster cuts have to be done by Saturday or on Saturday. Right now, most teams are at 75 players. And apparently for a lot of these teams, including the Eagles, the latest cut was not an easy cut. I mean, they had to cut like 10 guys to get to 75, and there were some tough cuts there. They got to cut 22 more players to get to 53 by Saturday. So be interesting to see some big names. Every year somebody gets cut that nobody expects is going to get cut. It'll be interesting to see what teams cut, what veterans and guys that were, well-known names. One big name who may wind up getting cut is up there in New England, and this could be it for him. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, my favorite crybaby.
Crybaby? Tebow's not a crybaby.
Wah,
wah. He's not a crybaby. Tebow's not a crybaby. Anyway, he's going to get a lot of the reps in this last preseason game for New England. They have their first two quarterbacks. They're about trying to figure out if Tebow can be the third quarterback. If he gets cut from New England, that might be it. He may be packing his bags and going to Canada.
I was just going to say, I'm sure somebody in Canada would pick him up.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's not a bad place to be. Don't get me wrong, but here's a guy who won the Heisman Trophy, and he's a big, big quarterback and big name.
Yeah, but Flutie did the same thing.
True, but then Flutie actually had a formidable career in the NFL. I wouldn't say he was a star or anything, but at least he had a few years where he was a player. There's factors here that are working on both sides for Tebow. Number one, you keep him, and you got a lot of people who follow the team, and they're buying merchandise because of Tebow. They're interested because he's on the team and what's going on and what would happen if anything ever happened to Brady, blah, 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 blah. So in one sense, the hype is a good thing. But on the other sense, I wonder if maybe the hype counts against him. It's kind of like there's just too much going on there to worry about. Let's get him out of the equation so we can focus on our guys, and everybody who watches our team is focusing on the Bradys of the world and all the other players. Why are they concerned about a third-string quarterback and whether he can play? You know, and the whole thing will be
on then.
Well, but the thing is, I think everybody's thinking that if he does make the team, it'll not only be as a third-string quarterback, but they might use him as a tight end, they might use him as a running back, they might do some other stuff with him, which, again, it's just going to add to some of the mystery that is Tim Tebow, and I just don't know whether a guy like Belichick is really interested in that. But he did get a vote of confidence from the owner who said, I'm rooting for the guy. So that's kind of cool. It's good when the owner, at least, is rooting for you.
Can't ask for anything more than that.
Speaking of football, of course, tomorrow is a very big day. It's not as big as Monday, but tomorrow is a big day. Tomorrow night kicks off the first games of the college football season. And, I'm pretty anxious to see some of these teams. And a lot of the big teams are in action this weekend. One of the big games tomorrow is South Carolina against North Carolina. And South Carolina should probably handle them, but South Carolina has a really, really good team, and they could be one of those teams that challenges Alabama or Oregon or whoever for the national championship. And, of course, Steve Spurrier is a friend of ours, so we're going to be rooting for him. There's lots more to talk about as far as college football is concerned. We're running out of time for this particular segment, so stay with us, and we'll talk more about college football in a second.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins. If you have a question or comment about our program or about the Tony Collins Foundation, please send an email to tony.collins@allstarincagency.com. That's tony.collins@allstarincagency.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay, we're now back. All right, there we go. Now we're back. All right, so we were talking about college football. Corinne, we were talking about college football, right?
Yes, I know we were.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're paying attention.
Oh.
So not only does South Carolina play tomorrow, and like I said, they're one of my picks. Okay, I'm going on record right now. South Carolina, I'm predicting, is going to have a huge year. And I think that they can possibly win the SEC, which is a monumental task with all the teams that the SEC has. There's another team or two playing this weekend that are very good. One of them is Texas A&M. So Texas A&M has a press conference on Monday, I believe it was Monday, to talk about the game against the Rice Owls. And They start off, can you guess what they started off with?
Talking about Johnny Manziel.
Well, actually, they started talking that they didn't want to talk about Johnny Manziel. They said, we're not going to discuss the situation around Johnny Manziel. We only want to talk about football situations and the game against Rice. And so please refrain from any Johnny Manziel questions. So the first guy comes up to the podium, raises his hand, asks a question. He says, do you think Johnny Manziel is going to be eligible for the game? Because reporters are such geniuses. Anyway.
Well, I mean, no, they're doing their jobs because the university was trying to avoid the situation and they want answers. And the NCAA spent all Sunday interviewing Manziel about the allegations that he sold his autograph at memorabilia shows. So, of course, well, they want answers.
There's an interesting dynamic here, okay? The dynamic is that what should be happening if you're a Texas A&M fan, Texas A&M is rolling the dice right now, as far as I'm concerned. And it's very interesting. If they went ahead and suspended Manziel indefinitely, then what they're allowed to do is appeal to the NCAA to reinstate him. So basically they're saying, here, you tell us what you want to do, because otherwise, the NCAA can just take their time and figure out what they want to do and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not sure, but if Manziel was to play in three or four games and then be ruled ineligible, they may have to forfeit the four games that he played in and maybe even games that he played in last year. So there's a problem here because, you know, do you play him and take the chance that he could be proven guilty? And you wind up having to forfeit the game, which they may or may not do. I mean, they may not force them to do that. Or do you, you know, what do you do? So they, I was told that if they were to go ahead and suspend them, then the NCAA has to come and make a quick ruling as to whether or not they would allow him to play. But the problem there is that says that the school believes that he did wrong. It makes a statement that says, we think he actually did it. That's why we're suspending him. You know, you can't just say, we're only doing it for tactical reasons. You have to say, well, we're suspending him because he did it. And what they want to do is they want to show support for John. And so we'll have to see, but you know, there's only between now and Saturday, there's 3 days left. So something's going to give, and it wouldn't shock me if they sat him for the first game to try to give it another week to see what's happening here. Because they're probably not going to have any difficulty with Rice. So why not go ahead and just sit him, play one of the youngsters? I guess if it got to be close and you wanted to put him in there to avoid a loss, you could do that. Anyway, the question I have for you, at what point...
Who, me or the listeners?
For you, because I'm only talking to you. At what point does this become too much of a circus? At what point does this dwell on every single player on that team? At what point do they finally just throw their helmet down and go, geez Louise, get this guy off our team so we can play?
Probably 2 weeks ago.
Probably longer than that. You know, he's got armed guards that take him from the practice field to the locker room and back. You know, the mobs of people who now are chasing him and trying to get autographs and stuff. It's gotten to be a circus.
Okay, well, so maybe we take it way, 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 way back to last December, and we look at the Heisman Committee and we say, you know, okay, you may have underclassmen that are really fantastic players and deserving of the award, but how about we just keep it to seniors?
We can't do that.
Why?
Because the Heisman's been around for 60, 70 years, and there's been many underclassmen who have won it, and Archie Griffin won it twice. And
yeah, I know, but see, but those were, that was then, and this is now. Times have changed.
You can't do it because of the autograph thing. I mean, if there was another reason that, you know, because freshmen can't handle it or whatever, I just think, you know, if a freshman is the best player in the country, and in my opinion, Johnny Manziel was the best player in the country last year, so he deserved the award. The problem is that he broke the rules. And, you know, I do think that the NCAA should change their stance on when a player can go to the NFL. If he wanted to go ahead and make money and he wanted to leave after his freshman year, he should be allowed. But the NCAA says you can't do that. You got to wait for your third year. You know, once you're done in your third year, you can go.
Yeah, but, so, but I don't. That doesn't make any sense to me, because who are they to tell people what they can do with their future? Kids drop out of college all the time and go take a job.
Right. Well, so, this is the governing body that sets the rules, and that's what they've set forth. And now that's different.
Let me ask you something. Let's just say, for sake of argument, that Johnny Manziel said, "You know what? Enough of this crap. I'm out," and he gets picked up by an NFL team.
Can't be. The NFL won't pick him up. Now, what he'd have to do, I'm going to stop you right there. What he'd have to do is he'd have to apply for hardship to the NFL, and he would be part of what's called the hardship draft. But the problem is the NFL would try to do everything they could to not let him do that, because then it sets a precedent for every other college player to be able to do that too. And if that happens, well, then the whole system's kaput.
Okay, so, but what you're saying then, there's collusion between the NFL and the NCAA.
Correct. Yep.
Must be us.
It's collusion, and it's also an infringement of rights as far as I'm concerned. You know, a lot of people complain about high school kids going straight to the NBA. Well, why not? If the NBA wants to pay them $3 million a year for a three-year contract, which is guaranteed coming out, why would you not want your kid to skip college and make $9 million guaranteed first? What if he's a big bust? Okay, great. He's a big bust. He's got 9 million.
College.
He's got 9 million reasons. Then he can go back to college if he wants to. He'll never get a degree that's going to earn him $9 million. At least not in 3 years. You know what I mean? So, but the NCAA decided they had to be. You know, everybody was so. Oh, you have to get your education. You know, Gail Sayers and I have this fight all the time. Gail's all about, you know, got to get your 4 years of education. They shouldn't leave after 1 year. I'm like, why not? You know, they have the right to do that. The problem exists when the guys that don't have the talent and don't get drafted leave their colleges and then get stuck out on the street. Then what do those guys do? So anyway, I think something has to be done here. And the Manziel situation, you know, he should have just been allowed to go be pro. He wants to be pro, and he wants to go start his NFL career, and he wants to sign autographs for tens of thousands of dollars. Then just let him, for goodness sake.
I think he should just be allowed to sign the damn autographs.
Well, that too.
I think he should be able to sign the autographs and keep that money for himself. Now, he's not selling memorabilia, and he can't because he doesn't have the release from the university to sell their intellectual property. So that's fine. If somebody comes up to him and hands him a picture and says, "I'll give you $25 for your autograph," then he should get it.
I agree.
I mean, you know, if a promoter wants to bring him in, if we brought him into Chantilly and, you know, they paid him, he should be able to sit there and sign autographs for 3 hours if that's what he wants to do.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not taking anything away from him, his status as an amateur. It's not taking anything away from Texas A&M. It's not taking anything away from the NCAA because they're not paying him to sign autographs, and they're not paying anybody for him to sign autographs, and they're not making money off of his autographs, so they should just let him do it.
Yep, I agree. All right, so other games that are happening this weekend, you know, I noticed that Temple gets to go to Notre Dame and play them out there. And, you know, Corinne, you're from Philadelphia originally, and I'm, of course, always lived here. And, you know, the struggles that the Temple Owls program has had for the last – God, 50 years had been pretty severe. In fact, I think they even fell out of the Division I program for a while, and then they came back. Maybe they stuck around. I don't know. Anyway, they just have never been really able to take off. And they've had a couple decent years, but they've never been able to really break through to the point where they could actually be considered for, you know, to be a top 10 team. So my question to you, being a Philadelphian at heart, who is Philadelphia's college football team?
Gee, that's really hard. I was thinking about that earlier. Because Philadelphia is, when you're talking about our colleges in Philadelphia, we're more basketball with our Big Five, you know, and
correct.
And it would be those same schools that we'd be looking at as far as football. And I don't know. There isn't a single standout. I mean, Penn is in the Ivy League, and they have a marginal football team. And I don't even know. Does Drexel have a football team? I mean, and we all know Villanova's history.
Drexel does not. By the way, Villanova. Back to Villanova real quick. Last week we talked about them. They are considered a potential candidate for the 1AA championship. So they are.
Well,
one of
this
the
would
top.
Be their second one. This would be their second one in 4 years.
Correct.
Right.
To answer my own question, I think you got to look at those bad guys in the middle of the state. And I say bad guys because they're Pitt's rival. But
you're talking about Penn State?
If you asked 100 people in Philadelphia, football fans, who's your favorite college football team? Or who do you believe is Philadelphia's football team? I believe they would say Penn State.
Well, I think you're right. I think they would. But I was considering just the schools right there in the city. And
Well, that's why I kind of want to root for Temple. In my heart, my son and I both like going down to Temple games. You know, we scout the players because we think sometimes we have a chance to sign them for our agency. And I really hope that they can get things turned around. Ironically, the guy that coached Temple for the last 2 years, you know, he came in from, I think, Florida State, and his name's Diadazio. He was here for 2 years, did a pretty good job, and then got a big offer from
Boston College.
Right. Yeah, and they play Villanova this week, and Temple plays Villanova every year, so Diadazio knows Villanova very well. So that's a very interesting little sidebar to that matchup. Anyway, Temple at Notre Dame, 3:30 on Saturday. Chicky and Pete's in Drexel Hill, they're having this big party and stuff. I'm thinking I gotta go. I'm hoping they have like really great deals where they give away, you know, free wings, free beer.
Oh my god!
Because you know, Corinne, every once in a while, I like to have a wing. I like to have a wing. I like to have a beer. You know, maybe one
every now and then. You know, not all the time. It's not your meal of choice or anything, but yes, certainly wings are up there.
Wings and beer are the greatest thing ever.
You ever eat. You know, I'm so surprised that you have not turned into a chicken.
Well, it's possible. It still could happen. Monday night will be wings and beer night as Pitt plays Florida State on national TV. And I'm just – one more time, I'll just put it out there because I know everybody gets sick of me here and talking about Pitt. But anyway, I cannot wait for that game, and I really hope that they do a good job. All right, moving right along because we've only got about 4 or 5 minutes left of this show. What's the number 19.5 mean to you?
Oh, boy. It conjured up all kinds of things that I really can't talk about on a family show.
All right, moving right along. 19.5 is the number of games the Phillies are out of first place. And they're tied with the Mets now.
No, Mets.
They're tied.
I had to tell you, talking to some people online about Charlie Manuel and his ouster, and they were saying that the Kansas City Royals could actually use Charlie Manuel. And I thought how funny it would be for Andy Reid to be down there with the Chiefs, and then Manuel to go down there with the Royals and be like a Midwestern Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's just like Philly too.
Yeah, like what Arizona was back in the day.
Yeah.
Buddy Ryan.
I hope that he does get a job. I don't know if it's going to be in Kansas City because I don't know if that guy's going to get fired or not. He's another guy that just hasn't been given the tools to do anything. And Charlie would be in a bad spot there because they don't spend money. His cap's going to be at like $50 million. And Philly, he's used to a team that spends like over $150. So anyway, what I was going to say about the 19.5, I mean, if I sat here on opening day and said that in what is this, August, almost September, that we'd be 19.5 back, I'd be like, ugh. So here's what I'm suggesting to Phillies fans. Let's live the rest of the season vicariously through Shane Victorino. Let's conjure up our inner Victorino and root for him. He's on the Red Sox now. He had 2 home runs and 7 RBIs last night. He's finally healthy. And he's actually not healthy. He just crashed into the wall the other day and hurt his hip. So now all he can do is bat right hand. He can't bat left. Anyway, but he's coming up with results. And I was just with Jim Davis, my good friend last night, who's a huge Red Sox fan. And Jamie was telling me that everybody in Boston is on the Flying Hawaiians bandwagon. And they love him. And I just think as Phillies fans, for what he did for us back in the day, you know, back in the championship year especially, you know, we should be rooting for Shane Victorino, and we should be rooting for the Boston Red Sox. I just wanted to put that out there as an idea, so maybe we can all rally behind Shane. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea. I'll go get my Hawaiian shirt on and my little grass skirt, and actually, I have a coconut bra. I can wear that with my little grass skirt, and I'll do a little dance for Shane Victorino, and, you know, hopefully we'll do like a voodoo thing, and he'll get it, you know. Pardon me?
So World Series championship, maybe.
Yes.
Well, then what we'll do is you'll post that on the Facebook page later today, right?
No.
Okay. Sometime soon, I'm sure, though.
All right,
so we only have a couple more minutes left. It's actually maybe 1 minute. Quick shout out. Alfonso Soriano just hit his 400th home run last night. I was like, 400? He's got 400 already? So hats off to Alfonso Soriano. He never really lived up to the type of player people thought he was going to be, but he still managed to get 400 home runs. There's still a question there as to whether he had any kind of outside assistance as far as the PEDs and stuff, but 400 home runs is a lot of home runs, so hats off to Alfonso. And then also hats off to the Pirates.
Just okay, made a big sports fans, here's your opportunity to this.
Buck and Bird from the Mets to try to help bolster their chances of going to the playoffs and doing something special. Lastly, I want to go ahead and do another plug for the Overbrook Monarchs. Their community day is this Saturday, August 31st, from 10 to 6. So if you're in the Philadelphia area, it's the Granahan Park, 65th and Callahill. If you don't know how to get there, you know, contact us on our Facebook page. We'll tell you how to get there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Sean Young, the ultimate Eagles fan, going to be there in full uniform to take pictures with everybody. He's got t-shirts he's selling, so you can have your own Sean Young t-shirt. Will Mattis, my son, will be selling custom-made sports cards if anybody wants to get cards made of themselves. So that's kind of cool. He'll be handing out literature as to what the prices are and how you have to do it. So it should be a lot of fun. I get to go there at 6:30 a.m., Corinne. 6:30 to help
set up.
So I might as well just stay up the night before. Anyway, anything to close us out here, Corinne?
No.
All right, good. Okay, so we will see everybody next week. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed the show today, and hopefully you'll be back next week. And hopefully Mr. Collins will be with us too. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be awesome. Who's he again?
Yeah, it's Bill Mattis' show. That's right. Okay, we'll talk to everybody later. Thanks for listening.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Tune in to Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Have an encouraging week. Tony and Bill will be back next week for more.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.